Watch some of the best American films of recent decades, and you'll see some heavy-duty violence. Consider The Godfather, Badlands, and Raging Bull, to name just a few acclaimed movies. Film critic Jake Horsley believes great art often deals with dark, forbidden subjects, and violence is the biggest taboo of all. Some of his favorite movies, like Taxi Driver and Blue Velvet, get into the minds of psychopaths. Or take one of Horsley's recent picks, Fight Club.
I want you to do me a favor.
Yeah, sure.
I want you to hit me as hard as you can.
Why?
Why? I don't know why. I don't know. Never been in a fight. You?
No, but that's a good thing.
No, it is not. How much can you know about yourself if you've never been in a fight? I don't want to die without any scars. So come on, hit me before I lose my nerve.
God.
Fight Club.
This is crazy.
It's a story of a man in a suit who discovers his whole life with all its trendy material possessions is a sham. It's through violence, hitting and getting hit, that he finds some primal part of himself. Jake Horsley lives in Guatemala, where Steve Paulson reached him. Horsley says it's not surprising that violence appeals to many moviegoers.
They are going for sensation. And people who go to movies essentially want to be not just entertained, but they want to be taken out of their worlds and their dreary lives and to feel things more intensely than they do feel on a, you know, day-to-day basis. So I think it's natural that they want to experience things that are going to upset them to a point.
So do you think violent movies are essentially cathartic? It's a way of working out our violent impulses?
Right. I mean, these are the movies that I'm interested in. If it's a good enough movie, you can put yourself in the skin of this psychopath and feel yourself killing a person and feel the pain and the horror and the misery that led to this violence. And it helps you to discover compassion and a little wisdom, perhaps.
Give me an example.
An example. My prime example would be Frank Booth from Blue Velvet, personally speaking, because that presents a very deranged psychopathic personality who is yet strangely sympathetic.
This is David Lynch's Blue Velvet,
right.
And Frank is played
right.
By Dennis Hopper.
By Dennis Hopper, yeah. It was a very, very famous role at the time, and Dennis Hopper was, notorious for being quite like that at his worst. You know, he went off the rails, and he did have psychotic episodes, so he was perfectly equipped for depicting this in a sympathetic way. You know, a lot of boogeyman and psychopaths like Hannibal Lecter in The Silence of the Lambs and Hannibal, there's no depth to it. It's a comic strip kind of presentation of evil, and it doesn't help us, doesn't bring us any closer to understanding the crucial factor about violence, which is that it's in all of us, and it's part of our nature. It's part of our genetic programming. Therefore, it is a necessary thing. Therefore, it's not a bad thing. You know, violence is not evil.
Well, let's take this example for a moment of Hannibal Lecter, a rather creepy villain, to say the least, this serial killer who's a genius, but a cannibal and incredibly violent. Is this just harmless entertainment, in your view?
Not at all. I think it's the most harmful kind of entertainment there is, actually. They seem to be actually presenting a kind of propaganda, a sort of intellectual kind of elitist propaganda, which is very strange, you know, because in real life, as far as I've been able to observe, psychopathic serial killers are not geniuses. You know, they're very miserable specimens who are in their own private hells. And in those movies, they never give you that idea. They actually make viewers want to be Hannibal, you know, they look up to him.
So you're saying this movie really glorifies this serial killer because he in some ways, he's better than the rest of us, even though he
exactly.
has this demonic streak.
Exactly. Well, because he has a demonic streak, he's seen to be better, you know. And there's no balancing. There's no angelic presence in these movies. It's all darkness. You know, and a movie like Seven does this, but it does it in a much more compassionate, searching way.
This guy goes by the name of Victor. His real name is Theodore Allen. His prints were found at the scene by homicide. Now, Victor dabbled in drugs, armed robbery, and assault. Spent some time in prison here a while back for the attempted rape of a minor. But his lawyer saw to it that didn't last long. Now, we're going to finish this thing up today, ladies and germs. Victor's been out of circulation for a while, but there's still a residence in his name.
Not buying all this, are you?
Doesn't seem like our guy, does it?
Tell me.
Our killer seems to have more purpose.
To me, Seven, which is the David Fincher film with Brad Pitt and Morgan Freeman and Gwyneth Paltrow, with the famous head-in-the-box ending, that was a traumatic movie. I mean, that upset me for days after I saw that movie. And that's when I know I've seen something that there's, you know, some thought has gone into it.
But why is that useful? Why should we want to be upset?
Well, life is upsetting, is it not? I mean, it's all about facing up to reality. Movies can do that in a paradoxical way. They really can help us to face up to reality that maybe we don't personally know anyone who's been killed by a serial killer, but it's going on and it could happen to us, you know?
But my reality, my life, hopefully, has no contact with serial killers, with psychopaths. I would just as soon leave it that way.
Every time you watch the news, then you're exposed to this and you know it's going on and you're part of one collective humanity, you know, however you look at it.
You have quite a provocative statement at the beginning of your book, The Blood Poets. You say you have little tolerance for people who don't like violence on screen. And you say it's really a reflection of their moral squeamishness. And I have to tell you that I know a lot of people, especially women, who can't stand any kind of violence in movies.
Well, it's a semi-personal statement because my father always hated violent movies. He just couldn't watch them. He watched Clockwork Orange and he ended up hiding under the seat. And he was a pacifist in his philosophy and what have you. But, you know, because he was my father, I had a very personal observation of how, to a great degree, it was just squeamishness on his part. It was him avoiding a side of himself, that saying he was a pacifist, and yet he could afford to be a pacifist because he was rich and he had a perfectly comfortable, sheltered life. And so it was a kind of armchair philosophy. Now, with movies, the reason I wrote that, the reason I feel that, is that some, if not most, of the great movies of the last 40 years are violent movies. So if you're saying that you've got no tolerance for violence in movies, basically you're saying you don't like movies.
But are you saying all art or most art to be great has to be violent?
I wouldn't put it that simply, but I would say that most, 90% of great artworks do deal with violence, at least indirectly.
And although I can think of, not, I mean, just to take literature, oh, Proust, James Joyce, Jane Austen, a whole ream of writers.
Oh, I bet if we really started dissecting, because I would qualify that statement by saying we're not necessarily talking about physical violence. But if you think of a movie like Dangerous Liaisons, for example, based on the famous play, that was a very violent movie, and yet there was no physical violence in it. But there's an awful lot of emotional, you know, hatred and subterfuge and all kinds of, like I said, this is human violence coming out in different ways.
You're only 5 minutes late, but I get so frightened. I become convinced I'm never going to see
you. My angel.
Is it like that for you too?
Yes. At this moment, for example, I'm quite convinced I'm never going to see you again.
What?
I'm so bored, you see. It's beyond my control.
What do you mean?
Well, after all, it's been 4 months. So what I said, it's beyond my control.
It's that woman, isn't it?
You're quite right. I have been deceiving you with Emily, among others.
Why are you doing this?
There's a woman, not Emily, another woman. A woman I adore. And I'm afraid she's insisting that I give you up.
Liar! Liar!
You're quite right, I am a liar. And it's like your fidelity.
Is there an ethics to making movies about violence? I mean, clearly you're saying it's not just simply a matter of whether the movies are pro-violence or anti-violence, but are you saying there are right ways and wrong ways to deal with this very loaded subject?
There's the aesthetic question and the moral question. Now, if a movie like The Wild Bunch, Sam Peckinpah's famous 1969 Western, is morally very dubious, in a sense its message is not that different from these Rambo diehard things, like men are men and men stick together and da-da-da, and violence is like a liberating or a transforming kind of thing, a rite of passage. And yet the movie itself is so intricate, so subtle, with such depth of character, and so visually beautiful that it actually transcends its simpleness at a moral level. It attains a level of emotional. To me, it always comes down to the emotional factor. If violence is not allowing the emotional consequences to enter into it, then it's basically deceiving us. Because as anyone who's been in a bar fight or even just stubbed his toe, you know, violence is very traumatic. It's not like just running around and dressed in black and blowing people away.
Jay Horsley is the author of The Blood Poets, A Cinema of Savagery. He talked to Steve Paulson.